But, okay. So, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't perfect. And I don't think anyone, any of us, are under the impression that he was perfect. Because our image of Moshe Rabbeinu is in Parshas Chukas. He's told to speak to the rock. The rock's going to give you water. You'll speak to the rock. And you'll have everything you need. And in a lapse of judgment, Moshe takes his stick and he hits the rock. He was impatient. He just wanted that water. There was so much pressure on him to produce. And so he hit the rock. And we know that he's punished for it. He doesn't go into Eretz Yisrael because he hit that rock. But in terms of knowledge, we have this concept that maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was perfect. Maybe he really did know everything. You know, the Mishnah on Perkei Avos says that Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. Moshe received the Torah at Har Sinai, and he passed it on to Yoshua. Yoshua the Zakenim, and Yoshua passed it on, the Zakenim and the Neviim, and they passed it on. And so we have this idea that Moshe, he received everything, he knew everything, and he passed that on. And so what we have is everything that he got, and he passed on, and was passed on, and was passed on. And so, maybe that's why we call him Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe our teacher, because he taught us everything we know. Everything we know came from him originally, and it was just passed on and passed on. But there's something something peculiar that comes up in this week's Parsha. As the Parsha's Terumah, and the Torah is describing the Mishkan, outside and inside, every last structure, every last vessel, everything is spoken about in the Parsha. And after describing exactly what the menorah is going to look like, Hashem says to Moshe, Re'eh v'aseh b'tavnisam asher atah mareh bahar. You should do it in the image that I showed you on the mountain. In the image that I showed you on Har Sinai. After describing every single detail, Hashem says, yeah, but do it like that picture I showed you. I gave you a blueprint. I gave you a picture of exactly what it's going to look like. So everything I said, you know, it fits with the picture I showed you. That's what I want you to do. But Moshe didn't understand the words. He didn't understand everything he was told. He had no idea what was going on. And it's not an isolated event. It comes up a couple times. After describing what the walls of the Mishkan are going to look like, Hashem says to Moshe, V'hake Moshe as a Mishkan k'mishpato, asher ha'reisa bahar. You should make the walls of the Mishkan the way they're supposed to, the way I showed you on the mountain. And one more time he says, Kasher ha'reoscha bahar, ken yasu. The way I showed you at Har Sinai, that's the way you should do it. But what's going on here? Moshe needs a picture book? Moshe needs a blueprint? The description wasn't enough for him? He couldn't piece it together by hearing the words of Hashem, by hearing his description. He had to see a physical image. The Mishkan was too abstract for him. What's going on here? And to be fair, every morning I try to do some Mishnayos, and there are some Mishnayos that are very hard. And I really like the ones with the pictures. When it gets hard, I really like the Mishnayos that were put out with the pictures. I like to see what's going on. You know, sometimes the words are too much for me, and I just say, I can't picture it. And I need someone to show me. But I'm not Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm nowhere close to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Shekibel Torah miSinai, Moshe who received the entire Torah, who passed it down. He doesn't understand? He needs a picture? He needs a special Oz V'Hadar edition? So what's going on? The simple answer to the question would be, yeah, Moshe was confused. And that's exactly what Rashi says. Rashi says, Re'eh kan bahar tavne shani mare oscha. You see right now at Har Sinai, the image that I showed, that I'm showing you. Magish niskasha Moshe v'maisa menorah. Moshe had a hard time picturing the menorah. Ad shehera lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu menorah shel ish. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him a menorah of fire. He didn't understand right away. And to be fair, I guess Moshe's in really good company, because a lot of people don't understand what the menorah exactly was going to look like. There are different interpretations. Were the branches, were the arms straight? Were they curved? Where was every kafter? Where was every, all those balls? Where was all the prachim? Where were all the flowers? How exactly were they laid out? It's not exactly so clear to anyone, including Moshe Rabbeinu. He had a hard time with it. But that's the simple answer. I think we could take this a step further, go a little bit deeper. So in Parshas Yisro, we have a very historic event. Moshe Rabbeinu is the first person in recorded history to receive unsolicited advice from his father-in-law. Not only that, he also, in an unprecedented manner, listens to him. Okay, I exaggerated a little bit on the second half. But what happens? Yisro sees Moshe as the sole judge of the Jewish people. He sits from morning until night, and people line up, and they ask them his questions, and he beseeches Hashem, and he asks, what's the answer? And then he gives that answer over. He tells them, this is the answer. This is what you should do. But after Yisro sees this, and he sees how Moshe Rabbeinu is leading the Jewish people, he says to him, Lo tova davar she'ata oseh. It's not good what you're doing. He says, if you do this, if you keep acting in this way, you're not going to be a very effective leader. What's going to happen? He says, Navo tavo gam ata gam ha'am. You're going to wear yourself out, and you're going to wear everyone else out. Ha'am azeh. Asher imach ki kaved mimcha davar lo suchal asahu levadecha. The task you've taken upon yourself, it's too much for any one person. You can't be just sitting there and doing it all by yourself. You need help. So instead, he suggested to him that he should make a tiered system. He didn't say totally remove yourself, but it should be part of a bigger tiered system. And so the easier cases will go to the lower tier, and if they can't handle it, it'll go to the higher tier. And if they can't handle it, it'll go to the higher tier. And the most difficult questions will go to Moshe Rabbeinu himself. And then Moshe will ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu for the answers. And that's what he'll give back to them. And so I said Moshe Rabbeinu accepted the unsolicited advice of his father-in-law. But then I said, just kidding. Because he only accepted it once a Kadosh Baruch Hu said, yeah. That's a great idea. And that's exactly what you should do. And that will make you more effective. And that will help the entire Jewish people if you do that. And so Yisro told him exactly who he should pick to be the Dayanim, to be the judges. And what did he say? He said, V'adta techazev and kol ha'am anshe chayel yirei elokim anshe emes sonei batzev. You should take from amongst the Jewish people, capable men who fear God, who are trustworthy, who despise corruption, they don't want to take any sort of bribery. And you should make those the judges on the thousands, on the hundreds, on the fifties, on the tens, meaning on the different levels. But if I were making criteria of what a Jewish judge should be, what a dayan should be, I would have said they should be a chacham, they should be really smart, they should be a navon, they should have a lot of understanding. I would have said they should be a masmid, they should learn day and night, they should have all sorts of wisdom. So why God fearing? Why trustworthy? Why despising corruption? Why are those the criteria that Yisro gave to Moshe? Why is that the most important thing that a Jewish judge could be? And Rabbeinu Mechaya says that this shows us the centrality of having refined character. It's about more than being just wise. But you also have to be refined. You can know everything, but if people aren't going to listen to you, then your knowledge is useless. And this could probably help us understand Moshe Rabbeinu a little bit better. How is it possible that Moshe received the entire Torah? He passed on the entire Torah. And yet there were multiple details in the Mishkan that he himself didn't understand. Why was it necessary for him to be shown pictures of the Mishkan? Why couldn't he just understand it from the words that were being told to him? Because our leaders are more than just wise. They're refined. When Moshe's praised in the Torah, how is he praised? Is he praised for being wise? He's praised for being the smartest? He's praised for having the most understanding? No. In Parshas Bamidbar, in Sefer Bamidbar, Moshe's praised as being Vaish Moshe Anav Ma'od. Moshe was incredibly humble, Mikol Adam, more so than any other person, Asher Al Pnei Adama, on the entire earth, in the history of human existence. He was the most humble person to ever exist. Moshe, who received everything, is praised for his midos. Because his wisdom was great. He had incredible wisdom. But more so, he had incredible midos. And that's what made him our Jewish leader. And this could probably help us understand the Gemara in Moed Katan. The Gemara in Moed Katan says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my diksiv. Why does the pasuk say, Ki sifse kohen yishmeru das v'tora yivakshu v'pihu, ki marach shen tzavakos hu? Why does the pasuk say, the lips of a kohen you should guard, his knowledge, and the knowledge in Torah you should seek from its mouth, because he's an angel of God. And Rabbi Yochanan says, "I dome harav, if the rabbi, if the rav, is similar l'malach Hashem, to a malach, to an angel, yivakshu Torah b'piv, then you should seek Torah from him. V'im lav, but if he's not similar, all yivakshu Torah b'piv, then you shouldn't seek Torah from him. Because it's more than, it's about more than just the wisdom. If one acts like an angel, like a malach, then you know that their Torah study was proper. You know that not only were they learning, not only did they learn a lot, did they gather a lot, but they were learning with the right intentions. They were learning in order to refine themselves, in order to bring themselves up, to help them get to a higher level. As the Gra says, the whole purpose of life is to work on our midos. And therefore, that's what the Torah was given for. To help us work on our midos. He says that this is a constant obligation that each and every person has. So based on his words, the basis for everything a person does should be focused on fixing one's character. Every time, everything we learn, every time we sit down to learn, it should be with this intent that we're going to come out a little bit better. And obviously nobody's perfect. And obviously you can't be done at once. And so therefore we work at it slowly over time. But that should be the intent. Someone once told me a story of Moshe Feinstein, where the parents, they wanted their kids, when they started learning Gemara, to learn Maseches Brachos. Because their kids should know something practical. Not only should their kids know how to learn a Gemara, but they should also know how to make brachos, the reasoning behind brachos. And Rav Moshe said no. Rav Moshe said they should start in Seder Nezikin, which talks about damages. Because it's not just about knowing practicality. But he said he wanted to impress on the kids the importance of being honest and being upright when dealing with someone else's property. Because it's not just about the wisdom. Yes, we should all know how to make brachos. Yes, it's very important. Yes, we should know all the practical aspects of our day-to-day lives. But he's saying that when the kids are learning, they should know something more than that. They should know how important it is to be refined in our character, not just the laws, but also the mitos. And last year I was teaching in a middle school. I taught 6th and 7th grade girls, 8th grade boys. And so when you're a middle school student, sometimes randomly throughout the year, you have a day off of school. And for the kids, it's great. For the parents, it's very stressful trying to figure out what they're going to do with their kids for a day. But for the teachers, it's another day of work. It's a PD day. Professional development. And so there's all these sessions that we have during professional development days. Some of them are about making programming, some about making the school better, some of them about making ourselves better. And they bring in different presenters. And so they brought in one presenter who asked teachers in the middle school to describe some of their teachers that they remembered from middle school or elementary school or high school or whenever. And so a lot of people talked about, my teacher was nice. They made me feel respected. They made me feel important. They, whatever emotions it was. And the presenter's point was that, yeah, I'm sure you learned a lot from that teacher. But it's very hard to recall, yes, I learned this Mishnah with this teacher. I learned how to multiply with that teacher and add and subtract with that teacher and whatever with that teacher. Because what's going to happen in 10, 20, 30 years from now or more is that you're not going to remember exactly what the teacher taught you, but you're going to remember how they made you feel. And despite that you probably learned a lot from them, you probably grew a lot from them, it's about how they made you feel. As Theodore Roosevelt is famous for saying, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Because it's about more than just the wisdom. The wisdom's great, it's important. But it's about getting to that next step. It's about the mitos, it's about the refinement. And with this, I think we could also understand another episode in Moshe Rabbeinu's life. At the end of Parshas Baaloscha, Miriam and Aaron speak Lashon Hara about their brother. And their complaint? That Moshe had separated physically from his wife because of his nevuah. And they said, "Vayomer harak ach b'Moshe diber Hashem, halo gam banu diber v'yishma diber." Is Hashem only speaking to Moshe? Miriam and Aaron said, "We're Nevi'im too. Hashem also speaks to us. We haven't separated from our spouses. So what's Moshe doing? What's he thinking? What's he doing to that poor woman?" And Hashem hears, and he gets angry. And at face value, we could probably hear their point. They make a good point. They're also in the VM. They also have a lot of wisdom. They're also being spoken to by a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And the response of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, Va'ish Moshe Anav Ma'od. It's more than just Moshe's wisdom. It's what he does with it. He wasn't just wise, he was refined. And so in one way, yes, they were all Nevi'im. But on the other hand, Moshe had taken a step further. He had really worked on his mitos. He had really gotten to that next level. Not to say that Miriam and Aaron had bad mitos, but Moshe was just one step up, one step further. So to go back to our original question, is it reasonable that Moshe didn't understand every single detail of the Mishkan and needed to be shown it? Absolutely. It's totally reasonable. Because Torah goes beyond just trivial facts. I've heard of many times that there's no such thing as trivia in Torah. People like to call it a fun fact, a trivia fact. But that's not Torah. Torah is about what you do with it. And there are many great scholars in many other disciplines who have amassed a large amount of knowledge. And they're not great people. But they've received a tremendous amount of respect for that which they know. But if someone knows an incredible amount of Torah, and they're not such a great person, so we wouldn't call them a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham is the only one who has both the knowledge and the midos. Instead, we call them a chamor nosei svarim, a donkey carrying books. I don't know that that's a great compliment. It actually seems like a pretty extreme insult. Because it's about more than just the knowledge. It's about what we do with it. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the epitome of a Talmud Chacham. He had the knowledge, but he also did great things with it. It wasn't just about the fact that he knew everything, or almost everything. But it was about the fact that it led him to be refined. And we tend to get caught up in degrees, and in titles, and accomplishments. And while all those things are really, really important, they mean nothing if we don't use them to make a meaningful impact.